Pastor Dave Rolfe says it's important to know the difference between us and God.
When we start to think that somehow we are an integral part of what he is doing, we go beyond the fact that he is God and he is to be sacred. He is to be separate. He is different than we are. And there has to be a clear distinction made between us and God. In the Psalms, David says in the 100th Psalm, he says, make sure that you know that the Lord is God. It is he that has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. You have to be careful when that becomes blurred.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hand and the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
We're going through the Bible right now on The Balanced Word, looking at key Bible stories along the way. Pastor Dave Rolfe is our teacher, and today's Bible story features Moses and a decision that he makes. We make decisions every day. Some aren't such a big deal, like what we're going to have for dinner or what time we choose to go to bed. But other decisions, like choosing not to obey God, well, they have huge consequences. In Numbers 20, Moses makes a terrible decision, and it would end up keeping him from leading the people into the Promised Land. Here's Pastor Dave to tell us all about it.
You know, a lot of times in life, one little decision that you make has huge ramifications. And usually those opportunities don't show themselves until after it happens. And yet something happens and a decision that you make ends up changing everything. Some of the decisions that you make opens the door to incredible blessings from a seemingly small decision that you make. There are other times when you make a decision that goes in a wrong direction and you suffer consequences of that for years. Well, here in Numbers chapter 20, Moses, who's such a hero, he's an amazing guy. It says he was the meekest man on the face of the earth. In fact, he said that about himself, so I don't know what you make of that, but he, every time, he's just doing what God told him. He loved the people. He defended the people. He had this face-to-face kind of relationship with God where they talked like friends. But here in this chapter, something happens and he makes a decision that makes it so that he is no longer able to finish that which he set out to do all those years ago. He led the children of Israel out of Egypt and across the Red Sea and through the desert to Sinai, got the law of God, brought them to the Promised Land. They failed. The 10 of the 12 spies were afraid to go into the land. And now they've been wandering. At this point, when we get to chapter 20, they've been wandering in the wilderness for 38 years or so. And it's about time to go into the land. And one decision that he made eliminated his opportunity to get to the finish line, to lead them where they were going, to lead them to the place where God said he wanted them to go. One decision. And it's kind of a weird one when you look at the story. But here's the story, basically. In chapter 20, the people are, most of the people who had been around 38 years before had died. And now it's this younger generation that's supposed to be the hopeful generation. And they start to complain because they don't have water. And they're complaining about the quality of food. They're sick of manna. They are, and they're going, we don't even have water right now. We're thirsty. And they say, that's it. We should go back to Egypt. You, Moses, you led us out into the wilderness, and only so that we would die in the wilderness like the rest of our relatives did. And, Moses and Aaron were just like, oh, gosh. And they go to the tent where they would meet with God regularly, and they had nothing to say. It just says they prostrated themselves. They just laid there before the Lord. The Lord spoke to him and said, look, no big deal. Get Aaron's staff, which was in the tent of meeting. Later it would be in the Ark of the Covenant, and it would be kept there as a souvenir. where today it's there in the Smithsonian Institute where Indiana Jones left it. But God said, take that stick and go and speak to a rock, a big cliff, and water will come out. People have plenty to drink. So they said, okay, they took the stick, they went to the rock. Now, instead of just speaking to the rock, first Moses spoke to the people. And he kind of chewed them out a little bit for their attitudes. But he goes, do we have to give you water from a rock again? But instead of speaking to the rock, this time he hit the rock. And maybe it didn't work the first time, so he whacks it again. And water came out. But then God said to him, I got a problem. Because you didn't do what I told you to do, he said, you showed a lack of faith in me. And at the same time, you didn't hallow me. You didn't show me as being separate, different than you. You didn't show me for who I was. Moses, the people can have water, but you're not going to be able to lead them into the promised land. And, you know, that's just the way it is. And Moses didn't seem to mind too much at this point. Later on, he would say, you know, you sure I can't go? And God let him see it from a bird's eye view up in the hills, but he didn't actually get to go in. But you look at the story and you go, first of all, my first question is, why in the world didn't Moses do what God said? He always did what God said. When whatever God told him to do, he was just like, you said it and I'm going to do it. He would argue with them. He felt close enough to God that if he didn't like what God was saying, he would let him know. And then he would end up doing whatever God told him to do. This time, he doesn't argue with God. He doesn't say, well, how about if I strike the rock or whatever? He just goes and strikes it. And why? It seems so out of character for Moses. But as I'm thinking about this, several things come to mind. For one thing, right before this, in chapter 20, his sister had died. That was his big sister, his older sister. Remember Miriam, when Moses was a baby and they stuck him in a little boat and sent him off into the water, it was his big sister who was watching his back, who was there and went and approached the princess who found Moses in the boat, and she boldly, you know, said, hey, I can find somebody to nurse that kid for you. I mean, she had been hovering over him forever. The security of having your sister there, your older sister, watching your back, I mean, that had to have meant a lot to him. Now, she goofed up sometimes earlier. She had thought, hey, why can't I hear from God? It was the first effort at feminism in the following of God. And God said, well, how do you like leprosy? And she's like, oh, no, I don't want to lead. It's okay. And he healed her. But now she's dead, and that would bum you out. His brother Aaron is going to die just a little bit later in this chapter. So Moses is probably feeling kind of old. He's feeling tired. You know how sometimes, none of you, but other old people, you know how they just get kind of crotchety? They're just like, I don't know. Give the guy a break. He's 118 years old or something like that. He's been through a lot. He never wanted the job in the first place. But also, the weird thing is, he had been through this before, but it was with these people's parents and grandparents. This is the young generation. This is the one that's going to do it differently. This is the generation that's going to go to the promised land. And like there they go with this Egypt stuff and this, we don't like manna. And it's like that had to have just ground on him. And where does he go for support? If they did a senior adults thing there in the wilderness, it would just be like Moses and Aaron and Miriam. That would be it. Because all his friends are dead. His family is dead. His parents are dead. His wives are dead, no doubt. His kids are dead because that much time had gone by. And now it's like, it's just you, man. And you can understand how you'd kind of feel like, oh, man. this is frustrating. What's with these people? And, you know, not only that, he's in a situation where as this unfolds itself, he's been on a long journey. You know how if you go on a vacation that's just a little bit too long, especially a driving vacation where you're just, you know, road hypnotism, looking forward, I just want to get home. And I remember one time we couldn't find a motel. We were with some friends of ours on a little vacation, and we end up, the only place we could find was up in the middle of nowhere in Northern California, this place called the Swan Lake Inn. And it was so, it had a pond with a fake plastic swan in it. And we got in the room, and I put a quarter in the magic fingers, and it just wouldn't stop. The bed just shaking, and I'm trying to pull the cord out and everything. You know, that's how you feel when you've been traveling a long time. It's just, what now? So he's in that position for sure. And, you know, but not only that, he's got tradition behind him. The older you get, the more you start to make decisions based on decisions you've made in the past. You just don't want change. And so this had worked for him before. He had struck the rock and water came out. So he may have even, I mean, he may have been hard of hearing, I don't know, but it may be that when God said, okay, you want water? Grab the stick. And he goes, okay, I'm off. And God's going, and speak to the rock, and he's already on his way to strike the thing. But it's like he was bound by tradition. He did it the way it worked before. And so I've done this already. I don't need to sit and listen to God exactly how I need to do it. I'm just going to do what I did before, because there's nothing that succeeds like success. So all of these things probably set him up for making this fatal error. Now, but then I go, okay, I kind of understand Moses, but now I have an even bigger challenge. How do I understand God in all of this? And I look at it and I go, Moses has been faithful for all these years. And now he makes this one little piddly decision that actually ended up working. And God, now you're making such a big deal about it that he can't go into the promised land. Why is this such a big deal? Now, when we read it and we see what God says, look there in Numbers chapter 20, verse 12. The Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe me, or it could be translated, you did not trust me, to hallow me or to make me separate, to make me special in the eyes of the children of Israel. Therefore, you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. So the first thing is, God says, you didn't trust me. Now, what did he trust? His experience, his gut feeling. But at some point, Moses was just so burned out that he was no longer going to trust God and just do what God would say. He was beginning to have trust in something other than God. And when God told him, do it this way, he didn't really believe him. He didn't really believe that that was the best way for him to do it. And that was a big deal to God. Because it's like, am I going to be God and you're going to follow me? Or are you just going to do your own thing and hope that I back you up? And so the first thing he says here is, you didn't trust me. And that's a big deal to God always. But the other thing that happens is that Moses seemed to become confused about what God is and what he is. And he blurred the distinction between himself and God. Notice that when he talked to the people, the Lord told him in verse 8 of Numbers chapter 20, take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, and gather the congregation and speak to the rock before their eyes, and it'll yield water. And so Moses took the rod in verse 9 from before the Lord as he commanded him. So far, so good. Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock. Good. That's what they were supposed to do. And he said to them, he improvised a little speech. He said, hear now, you rebels. Must we bring water for you out of this rock? You know, that's kind of weird that it was always about God before, And now it's about us. Now it's we. Do we need to do this for you? Who's bringing water out of the rock? Moses? He's giving them that impression, kind of, and I think that was offensive to God. And it's always offensive to God when we start to think that somehow we are an integral part of what he is doing. We go beyond the fact that he is God, and he is to be sacred. He is to be separate. He is different than we are. And there has to be a clear distinction made between us and God. In the Psalms, David says in the 100th Psalm, he says, make sure that you know that the Lord is God. It is he that has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. You have to be careful when that becomes blurred, when it's not really clear. And when I see this where he says we, I think of Pastor Romaine used to say, whenever someone said we, he would go, what's this we stuff? He said, who joined you? And I think that would be God's kind of thing. Like, what do you mean we? We're going to do this? And so that was something where he was in a dangerous territory where he was identifying too much personally with what was going to happen instead of giving people the opportunity to glorify God and know that it was just God. So he was getting a little cocky, a little, you know. But beyond that, his little rebel speech, you rebels, what are we going to... He was acting like God is really mad at you. God is like, you're lucky that God and I are going to give you a break here. Because, oh, is he mad at you? God wasn't mad. Not at all. In fact, he caused water to come out even when Moses did the wrong thing. And God never told him he was mad. See, because God looked at these people in the wilderness and he's like, they don't have water. I can see why they're having a hard time. I'll give them water, no problem. He wasn't angry, but because Moses was angry, and because he was having a hard time distinguishing between himself and God, he thought that God was mad at anything that he would be mad at. And God was like, don't misrepresent me, especially in acting like I am mad at my people who I am about to bring into the land that I've promised for hundreds of years that they will come to. Be careful. Do not make them think that I am mad. Because he did, I think this was a big deal to God. It caused God not to be as hallowed, not to be as separate, as sanctified, as special, because it looked like God gets mad at whenever Moses is mad. And so I think that was something that got to God. And then there's a fourth thing that pastors talk about a lot, and there may be some validity to it, but in the New Testament in 1 Corinthians 10, it says that, talking about this event, it says that Jesus was the rock. And so this picture was drawn of Jesus being the rock in the wilderness. And so a lot of times pastors will say, the reason God got so mad about this and made Moses not be a leader anymore, even though it doesn't say that God was mad at Moses even, but the thinking goes, God had intended that rock to be a picture of Jesus, and therefore he was struck once, like Jesus was struck on the cross, and after that all you have to do is speak to him to have your sins forgiven. Now, it does make a nice analogy. It does make a nice metaphor. But honestly, I have a hard time thinking that God got so upset at that time because it's like, oh no, you messed up something that was really going to be cool 1,300 years from now, and I had no idea you were going to do it. So I kind of, it's one of those things that pastors say because they've heard other pastors say it, and sometimes they don't necessarily think it out. But because I've heard so many pastors say it, I'm going to throw it out there as reason number four. But I don't think that God's main thing was, you messed up my object lesson. God's bigger than that. But anyway, for all of these reasons, God said you can't enter the land. So what was the consequence? Now, a lot of times we think God just overreacted and said, that's it, you're disqualified as a leader. God didn't say that at all. In fact, Moses would still be leading them for the next couple years. Not only that, the entire book of Deuteronomy, which is Moses giving a series of probably five lectures to prepare them for going into the promised land, where he goes over the whole law and he prepares them for what they're going to face and everything. Who was giving that? Who presented that? It was Moses. And ultimately, Moses was the one who would anoint Joshua to take over. So God didn't say, because you misrepresented me, because, you know, you didn't do what I said to do, you can't lead anymore. No, he was still the leader. Now, Aaron ended up dying right then. So Aaron may have, and in the text in chapter 20, seems to indicate that Aaron died when he did because of what happened here. So maybe this was Aaron's idea all along. We don't know. But at any rate, Moses still got to be the leader. But as the leader, he didn't get to take the people where they were ultimately headed. They followed him, and that was a good thing, and he was a good and effective leader, but he held short of being able to take them to the finish line, to get them the place where God wanted them to go as a consequence of all this.
You're listening to The Balanced Word. In addition to being our teacher on the program, Dave Rolf is the pastor of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. We're going through the Bible right now in a series called Bible Stories. We have these messages archived for you at thebalancedword.com or call and request today's message on CD at 949-362-7475. And as a special appreciation gift for your donation of $10 or more, The Balanced Word is pleased to send you all of these messages in this Bible Stories series on a USB thumb drive. You'll hear some of the Bible's greatest stories from Genesis through Revelation. To make a secure donation, go to thebalancedword.com or call 949-362-7475. And don't forget to ask for the Bible Story series as you give. Again, we're at thebalancedword.com. And we'd like to take this time to invite you to Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel. Our Sunday morning service times are at 8, 9:45, and 11:30. Again, we're at ccpacifichills.org if you'd like more information. Or if you're outside of the area, you can watch our live stream right there at ccpacifichills.org. Check out Pastor Dave's one-minute messages, a great way to start the day. You can listen to them at thebalancedword.com or watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. With a couple of takeaway lessons from Moses' bad decision, here again is Pastor Dave.
So what sense do we make of it? What are some of the lessons that we need to take away from this story? The first one I think that jumps out at me is we need to pay careful attention to what God says. We need to read his word. We need to pray. We need to listen to what we sense him telling us. We can't afford to just live on tradition. We need to listen carefully. And then when we feel that God is telling us something, we need to do it meticulously. We don't listen to God and then decide whether we're going to follow him or not. If you are a child of God, you are to be a disciple of God, and that means you follow him. And in order to follow him, you have to listen to directions. And so we understand it's a big deal, and we need to focus good and hard on what God is saying so that we can end up doing what he wants us to do, because little decisions can turn into huge consequences. And so I don't know. I mean, honestly, most of the decisions that I make every day, it wouldn't really matter which way I did them. It's not a big deal what you eat for breakfast usually, or, you know, whether you go to first or second or third service or whatever. But, you know, in all those decisions that we make, sometimes there's a huge consequence. To be in the right place at the right time where God wants us, it happens because of small decisions. We have to understand, ultimately, there really are no small decisions, because every decision that we make and everything that we do out of obedience to God could have major consequences. And so we need to be thinking about that for sure. But also, I'm so impressed with the lesson here that doing things the way you've always done them is not a good practice. Forming traditions and then just going, it worked before, so it's going to work now, That's a major problem. And it's a problem for all of us because especially as we mature and we begin to get older, we become more and more conservative. We just don't like change. We don't trust change. It messes us up. And so we just go, it's worked like this before. That's the way I'm expecting it to work again. And sometimes it does work out that way. But oftentimes it doesn't.
We'll share the rest of this message from Numbers 20 next time on The Balanced Word with Dave Raw. Read ahead and join us then. This program is brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands. And the instrument I play. Wake up my